This is understandably awkward, and this is just two siblings talking about movies and stuff that's inside the movies. You should listen.
Jay, what the hell is that? Okay, welcome back to Understandably Awkward. This is Asen.
This is Cheyenne.
And today is Movie Mondays. Today we're going to call it Mutant Movies Monday. Or Monday's Movie Movies. Monday Mutant Movie. It's Movie Mondays. Okay, for this episode, we're going to talk about mutant movies. This is basically just movies that involve someone mutating or...
or being mutated.
So anybody who's changed from what they originally are to something else, be it a monster, superpowers, or even animals turning into other things.
Or just people who can blend in with rocks.
First up on our list is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies. We're talking about the ones that were made in 1990 and 1991.
I just gotta give it to them. The first one was my favorite. I think I watched it out of order, though, because I watched The Secret of the Ooze first.
Yeah, well, no, I watched it the way you're supposed to. But the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie came out in 1990, and it was directed by Steve Barron. And I think this was the first live-action movie they did, besides the animated series. And it relied on like animatronics for most of the expressions on the turtle's face, and which was pretty cool, because back then, most movies used like practical effects and other stuff, trying to stay under the budget, and CGI wasn't really a big thing, mainly because like the computer power back then wasn't as good as it is now.
If you need an explanation on what the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are, sewer turtles. I'm kidding, but they were in the sewer and they were raised by a rat, which was also a mutant. Just letting you guys know.
Yeah, and the rat was called his name was Splinter, and the main reason why he chose to teach him ninjutsu is because his owner was originally from Japan, who got killed by the Foot Clan. It's like the main enemy in the series. He was killed by their head leader, the guy named Shredder. I don't know why they call him Shredder, but I'm guessing because he cuts his enemies up.
He just loves cheese. That's it.
So do the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on their pizza.
Oh my gosh, do you think that's why they call him Shredder? Because they love cheese pizza?
Let's not go down this rabbit hole. And then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze, that came out in 1991, and that was directed by Michael Pressman. That was pretty good. I liked how it was a continuation of the storyline for that movie, and it added on more of the animals that were mutated in the comics. I'm sad, though, that they didn't incorporate Bebop or Rocksteady into that, because that would have been a lot better than what they used, which was like, what, a dog and a snapping turtle?
You leave them alone. They did what they had to do, okay? They did what they had to do.
That's true. And like in the second one, they brought in Vanilla Ice to play or to sing and rap that song, Ninja Rap.
Go, Ninja, go, Ninja, go, go.
That was a nice, like, trip down memory lane with those movies. But yeah, they involve mutants, which, I mean, it's pretty cool because it turns into like them fighting crime.
Imagine what it must be like to be a cop and then a giant turtle just beats the shit out of the people that you're supposed to arrest. Just imagine that.
Next up, we have Hills Have Eyes, which is something Cheyenne knows more about. So we'll let her talk.
So basically, it's about a family that's stranded in the desert on their way to San Diego, and the people that are trying to kill them are cannibals while also mutants.
Yeah, there's a group of mutants that live near a nuclear testing site, which was close by to where the family got stranded. It's like a remake of an older movie with the same name, but this one came out in 2006, and it was directed by Alexandra Aja.
Yeah, the original one was directed by Wes Craven, actually. I don't know how I feel about that one. I'm pretty sure that one is way better than the 2006 one, but I'll have to rewatch it to make sure.
I mean, when I first watched it, there was like this scene where this girl or one of the characters is looking around trying to see where they are, and then when they leave the area, turns out there was like a mutant there that was hiding in the rock away from them. And it looked like they mutated so that they had camouflaged on the rock, which it was pretty cool because they use corn syrup with some like other substance to make their skin more bumpy on top of the latex that they gave them. You guys want to watch that? That one's pretty good. And there's a second one too, I know. And that one's even kind of gruesome a little more. Like there's this one scene where this guy goes in the bathroom of an outhouse and then he gets drugged into the little ravine. Or
basically they literally said, "I got your ass."
And then on to another mutant movies that we've watched. We haven't watched, or I'm pretty sure we watched over a long time, the X-Men series, but we've rewatched like a few of them to review on this episode. The first one was X-Men, the one that came out in 2000. I forgot who like directed it, but everyone knows who was starting it. It was like Hugh Jackman,
our Queen Halle Berry, Patrick Stewart, and a couple of other people. We don't have time.
And that series, it was like very enjoyable because, I mean, it was the first time we got to see X-Men live action. And Hugh Jackman, he was just born for the role of Wolverine. And so was Patrick Stewart for Professor X, like the older version. One scene I didn't get is when Toad spits his saliva onto Jean, and then Scott comes out of nowhere and just blasts her in the face with his laser. Like, wouldn't that kill anybody else? Like, how the hell?
Well, the Jean. She's... Well, isn't... I don't know. Like, that should have just, like, killed her.
Well, I mean, in the movie, you see him, like, turn a dial on his visor. But, like, how the hell does that even work? Like, does that bend the whatever is in the visor?
Is it, like, the way a stove would work? Where it starts from low, and then you go to medium, and then he's like, "Ooh, I can't go high. Let me go to medium high.
Set it to broil."
We're going to set it to 425. He says that Hugh Jackman was born for the role of Wolverine. I definitely agree with that one, but Halle Berry was also born for Storm. Can we all just give her appreciation too?
I'll give her like an exception, but I don't know. It could have been a little bit better with the choice, but I mean, they did what they had to do. And then can we say like, what was that guy's name? Ryan Reynolds. We got to say he was born for the role of Deadpool. And then the way they messed it up over with Wolverine Origins or whatever, it was just sad.
Yes. Also, what the fuck was that? Why did he look like that? And then when they chopped his head off and he was going down the little whatchamacallit thing, I don't know what the fuck it's called. Okay, Aeson says it's a silo, but the only thing I think about when I hear silo is corn.
Oh my god.
Okay, back to what I was trying to say. When they were doing that, his eyes were still going and going, and like Deadpool just looked like a monster that they could just control. Sort of like what they did with Winter Soldier.
Good point. And I mean, at least with Deadpool 2, he like kind of, in his own way, just rewrites all the mistakes that they did in making fun of them. But hopefully they make that like a canon or something.
With the whole X-Men franchise, we rewatched it because there was First Class, and then there was all the other movies that they like recently made. It kind of erases certain movies, so like the timeline is just out of loop and stuff like that. So we had to like rewatch it to make sure that it all made sense. And it kind of does, but also kind of doesn't. But you guys are going to have to figure that out by yourselves.
Yeah, it's like way worse than what Marvel did to the timeline just to finish the Infinity Wars. That was pretty simple. They just moved it back to where they first got the stone. But this, it erased that, erased the other timeline. It just like kept going back and forth. Like, choose one timeline and destroy, and that's it.
Now, onward to The Fly. I feel like we should have done this in like release date order, but it's too late to go back now. We're on to The Fly.
And with The Fly, that came out in 1986. It was directed by David Cronenberg. I feel like that's a word for like those mutated clumps of human things, the Cronenbergs.
Or another type of lettuce.
Let's move on from that. Let's see. Who started it? It was Jeff Goldblum starting it. He played a scientist who was trying to figure out teleportation, which was a good premise for the movie. I mean, he ends up teleporting himself with a fly. I don't really understand how that mixes both their DNA together. Where did the fly go? Did it just fuse to his back or something?
So your assumption is that it just went to his back. What if he wanted to eat it? What if he wanted protein?
Well, no, in the movie, it shows that they combined both his DNA with the fly, which is why he turns into a fly. But, where do the parts of the fly go inside of him? Because that's not a fair trade. If his whole body comes out, but the fly's body is just, nowhere to be found.
Okay, you kind of got a point, and I can see where you're going with this, but I feel like in this movie, the flies matter, I guess, kind of just...
It kind of just goes...
Yes, it does go... Because, the fly is nowhere in there, and the DNA is, in him now. Doesn't he become, a giant fly then? So then... It's just maybe the fly got. I don't. I'm trying to make it make sense, and it just. It's not
okay. The way I think I understand how the movie goes is first he's human, but then he turns into a fly. So does that mean the fly's DNA overpowers his human DNA, or just how does? Where do you find the ratio between human and fly? Because I mean, in the end of the movie, he's just a fly, like. That doesn't make sense.
Okay. Every species on Earth, whether it be a bug or an animal or, it has a DNA. You know what I'm talking about.
It's in their dinner.
It's in my dinner. But, yeah, I feel like that's probably what happened. It just connected to a part of his DNA and then just created a giant fucking fly.
All right. You might be right on that. Okay. Let's just move on to the next movie. All right. The next movie we got is Godzilla. The one that had Matthew Broderick in it though. That was made in 1998. It was directed by Roland Emmerich. So for that one, it basically turns Godzilla into just a radioactive iguana.
It sounds so ridiculous when you say it. He's just a radioactive iguana, but he looks like a dinosaur. He looks like a dinosaur.
He's an iguana. But in the movie, it just shows him that he came to be because nuclear bombs were being dropped near where his habitat was. And then for some reason, he just grew to a very big iguana.
Well, somebody better go tell Roland that he's wrong. He's wrong for that.
But I mean, the movie was pretty good, but it's on its own as a story. Although it didn't go along with what Godzilla actually is, it still did a good job, especially at the end of the credits where one egg survives and that ends up being Godzuki.
That sounds like a brand new car.
Okay. And all right, the last movie we got is Doom, which was. A live action made after the game with a similar name. The game that was made by id Software. It was the first game, video game to have simulated 3D environments. And it was the first person shooter that dealt with demons on Mars, which was a pretty cool video game. When you play it, it's fun.
Hopefully that's not actually possible because... I know Elon Musk is trying to do something with Mars, and if somehow demons end up here and they're from Mars and then they start turning into monsters, we're going to have issues here.
And that movie came out in 2005 and it was directed by, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to butcher this, Andrzej Bartkowiak. Cheyenne, try this.
Andrzej Bartkowiak? No, I want another go. It's Andrzej Bartkowiak. I think I said that right. If I did not, I am sorry.
And this one, it starred Carl Urban as the protagonist, along with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who ends up being the antagonist at the end of the movie. And with this one, it was like, they went to Mars, they colonized Mars through something called the Ark, which instantly teleports them to Mars. A facility that was on Mars is found, like, these remains of humanoid people who have, like, an extra pair of chromosomes, more than humans have.
Yes, so they would inject themselves with this, is it a synthetic or is it like, okay, so they would inject themselves with this synthetic chromosome 24, and their body either took it or rejected it. Whichever one happened, they would either turn into a monster or they'd be superhuman with superpowers.
No, it wouldn't reject it. It would be like, if they, if they get injected, it either turns them into a monster or a superhuman. It was just based off of like what their natural tendency was, like if they were evil or if they were good. It was like psychotic stuff.
So what you're saying is like super soldier serum.
Yeah, it's basically like that, but on Mars, and it was not made by the Germans or Nazis, or it was a Marvel thing. Okay,
I gotta say that when Carl Urban's character and Dwayne Johnson's character were fighting, that was the most intense thing I had ever saw. I'm pretty sure this movie got like bad reviews, right? Bad like reviews?
5.2 out of 10.
Apparently it was a 5.2 out of 10. But for me, it would always be a 10 in my heart.
And The Rock's like acting on how to be evil, it was a little over the top, but at the same time, it fit pretty well for his character. It's just cringy in some points.
If I was there and I saw him acting like that, and then he pretends to shoot my co-star, I don't know how I would react. But all I would say is that I'd be scared shitless.
There's one scene in there when Carl Urban's character like falls or gets knocked out, and he comes to. It's like it was a first person view, but it felt more like a video game, like a traditional first person shooter. In that scene was just, it was really good.
They also made, I don't know if this is supposed to be a sequel or just like a reboot of what the Doom movie was supposed to be, but it's called Doom Annihilation. I'm sorry, but you can tell that that movie is kind of low budget a little bit, or didn't have a really big budget to begin with. It was okay. I don't think I'd watch it again. It just didn't have the same kind of effect as the 2005 one.
And that's it for our movies. I hope you guys enjoyed this. If you want to share this, follow us on Instagram or TikTok and give us a like on there. That'd be cool.
Yes. And you can watch these movies probably anywhere if you want to. If you don't want to, you're missing out. For this Wednesday, we are going to talk about Dr. Stone, because it's on its sixth episode, I believe, and I am excited, and so is Asen. Aren't you excited? Tell me you're excited.
Very excited.
Held at my gunpoint.
We're also going to review a new anime that was on Netflix called The Way of the House Husband, and I gotta say, it was pretty funny. Me and Cheyenne binge watched in like an hour and a half. That's how good it was. Although the episodes are short, but you just gotta watch it. And we also have plans to watch Demon Slayer. Hopefully you guys know what that is if you watch anime.
And since we were speaking of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I got a comic book suggestion for you guys. So I probably in January, I read The Last Ronin, and the second issue just came out in February, and the third one's coming out in March. So if you guys decide to read one of those or all three of those, let me know how it is.
And this was UA, or Understandably Awkward. Thanks for listening. I'll see you guys next time.
Goodbye. I'm sorry. I promise I'm not stupid. I meant to say May, not March. Okay, bye.